Oh, thank you. I didn't even realize I was such a midget. I need a lot of help. Oh, boy, that's much better. Now that's much better. Oops. Okay, good evening, everyone. Let us begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. So let us all stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Someday. Okay, roll call.
Good evening, commissioners. I'd like to take the roll call. Commissioner Hurd is excused. Chair Hartwig?
Present.
Commissioner Pitts?
Present.
Commissioner Main is excused. Commissioner Montgomery?
Present.
Commissioner Castillo?
Present.
Commissioner Negrage? Excused. Thank you.
Okay, our next item is approval of the minutes. Do we have a motion?
I motion.
We have a motion. And we have a second.
Is the motion to approve both sets of minutes?
Yes, it is. The motion is to approve both sets of minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Second. And the second as well?
Yes.
Okay, very good. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion carries unanimously. Moving on to old or unfinished business.
Good evening, commissioners. Old and unfinished business, item A was heard in August. It's consideration of a resolution approving and authorizing the submittal of a fiscal year 2012 Move to Work annual report to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development by the deadline of September 30th, 2012. As we explained, we went over the report last month, and we won't go over it again. We are adding in the financial tables. The financial tables are somewhat strange in that they map our initial plan, which is the buckets we put money in, and then what HUD wants at the other end is how it was spent. Then they never correlate. One of the things that we're going to Chicago next week, actually, to convene all the MTW agencies to find a better way to report our finances to HUD that makes more sense. This is a strange table of different our budget trying to roll into something that HUD does. And Janet Rice, do you want to come up and give a brief report with Tony Ma? And finally, I would like to say, as Tony's coming up, is that Tony will be departing the Housing Authority next month and going to work for Eden Housing. So he has been headhunted away from us, and I will miss him enormously. He arrived here with the department in one situation and left it in a terrific situation. We've got a ways to go, but the length of the haul that he and his staff have taken us has been really remarkable to me, and he's fun to work with, and he gets stuff quickly, and he says, oh, let me look at it, and he goes back in his office, figures it out, and comes back, and he's just been a terrific asset to us for the years that he's been here. So I'll turn it over to Janet and Tony.
Okay. Thank you. We just kind of want to go through table 19 and 20 and just kind of give you high points of what of some of the variances are. As Director Johnson mentioned.
Excuse me, Tony, would you give me the page number on 19 and 20, please?
54. As Director Johnson mentioned, is when we develop the plan, it's basically based on one format, and then when we report, it's based on an FDS financial data schedule format that we report to HUD. So there are differences in the formatting, and hopefully when we go to Chicago, we're gonna basically ask HUD to convert to change it to one or the other, so that you're not comparing apples to oranges. So let me go through some of the highlights in the variance columns for you. The first one is subsidy earned. There's a variance of $31 million. We had budgeted $175 million, and we basically...
Tony, excuse me. Which chart are you on? Which page?
Table number 19, page 54.
All right.
Okay. So if you look at the right-hand column, you'll see there's a very large delta of $31 million. That's because we budgeted for about 80% of subsidy from Section 8 housing, and what we got was significantly more than that, in the 90 percentile. And that's what causes that $30 million positive variance. If you go down the next line, under HUD grants, capital fund, there's a positive variance of $2.6 million, and that's because we basically collected more in capital funds than what we budgeted for. The next one down is a negative $4.1 million, and that's because we had budgeted for replacement housing factor funds, and we didn't expend anything, so we basically didn't get anything. And that's not... Go ahead.
Okay. What we did was include the replacement, the receipt of the availability of the replacement housing factor funds. Those are funds that we had in, I think it was April special meeting. We told you how many we were going to get coming forward for development activities only to create new units. That won't be booked as an expense until we actually expend them.
One thing I want to mention is that this is just MTW funds, so it excludes the non-MTW activity, which is on the second page. One thing is not in here is open. Okay. And then on going down further under other revenue, you'll see that there's a positive delta of about $3.7 million. And that's because we collected developer fees, fraud recovery from the police department, also billed the other Hope 6 projects for police services. So that's in that number as well. Going down under uses, I'm going to skip the admin because there's $15 million and it's off by about $800,000. It's actually $800,000 less than what we budgeted. So we spent less money than what we budgeted. The $1.2 million under tenant services is family community partnerships due to staffing, and they just didn't spend the money. So they're basically $1.2 million less than what they budgeted.
So what I would add to that is also the result of a timing delay in billing from the City of Oakland, because we have the sponsor-based HAP funding that we fund them, and last year it was about $1.5 million, so it takes them a little bit of time to ramp up to send us the invoices, so that's what that was.
Okay, good.
Going down once again under maintenance. Maintenance is $7.9 million higher than what we budgeted, and that's, we spent a great deal of money preparing the units, so we did spend more money than we budgeted for, and we have to look, do a better job of tracking that.
So is that really a tracking issue or a forecasting issue?
It was really a forecasting issue, because remember, this isn't against the budget that you approve in June. This is against an estimate we do in February. So we just have to give HUD a basic table saying, in these areas, how much do you think you're going to spend? And then what they want with the report is us to come back and say, what did you really spend it on? And so if you look at the bottom figure, the total uses, we had 204 that we had said thought we would spend. We ended up spending 210.
Protective services is over the budget by $1.5 million. But also bear in mind that part of that is up above in revenue, where he's basically collecting revenue billings for protective services for the other projects like Mandela and Chestnut. So he's got additional labor, but he's also got revenue above. Okay. The general is over by $18 million. And there's primarily what it is, there are audit adjustments from prior years that our auditors put in. What we're doing is they've already reflected it in their audited financial statements. And so we're just basically bringing our books in line with what they're reflecting. One of the primary things in there is that last year HUD decided that we've been carrying what something called an interfund, which is basically as we front money for the other projects and other programs, we carry a receivable or a payable due from. and it's been carried over for at least for over 10 years. So what HUD decided this past year is that they didn't want us carrying this anymore, not just us, but all the other housing authorities as well. So basically what we did was we wrote it all off. And the best place to write it off was in other general so that we could isolate it and it's not populating everywhere else. So that's a one-time adjustment that you won't see again.
And I would say that, keep in mind, we're going to have our financial report next month that actually tracks against our budget, not against what HUD's buckets are, and it'll make a lot more sense. This is not that. But there were some big variances, so we just wanted to call them out.
Yeah.
And will that $18 million be pointed out in our financial statement next month? Will we see what actually was written off and what wasn't, where that $18
million went? It isn't. It's correct. Some of this is HUD's request of going back that wasn't done, so we correct their report. On our report and our audits, it's all in there.
Okay.
And we can talk about that next month, but I don't think the majority will be in this year's because it goes back to previous years. But in the HUD business system, this is doing that correction. Okay. So what these tables are talking to isn't our operating budget. They're talking to HUD's FDS business system.
Right,
okay?
Understand.
So some of these big moves seem strange, but they're only strange if you knew what was already in there, which is also strange.
So this,
they're trying to correct, do some of the major corrections.
So bottom line, this is not the purpose of this. The purpose of this reporting here is not really measuring our performance internally. This is really measuring how things stacked up against the format that HUD wants to see, which is different than what we use internally.
Yeah, and keep in mind on HUD's side of the books, we have a huge huge balance showing of reserves that are unspent. This is helping to clean some of that up. Okay.
Right.
And also that $18 million, since it was a write-off from prior years, I'm assuming that that's not cash, right? Right.
No, it was never.
This again is what we're doing today is something that all the MDW housing authorities and the financial group, which Tony has been on, is talking about eliminating and going through the exercise we're doing now. So we don't have the pre-audited that we submit on this. We just submit the final.
The only issue we have here is whether this is okay for HUD.
It's okay for HUD. Janet, do you want to add anything else about the numbers?
Because there's really not any point.
No, they are what they are.
Exactly.
And we're doing a bunch of shifts that are correct. Yeah. We don't really need to go into detail.
I just wanted to address Commissioner Pitt's question about whether or not we would see it in our audit. We will not. The external audit has already incorporated all of these multiple year adjustments. We've just had these numbers sitting on our books. And so now we're reconciling it and making sure that we agree with the audit. So going forward, we're all aligned.
Right.
With
so
HUD.
We shouldn't see this again.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, unless HUD has some dumb rule, and then we'll explain it to you at that point.
Yeah.
All right. So if there's any other, do you have any other questions?
$17
million?
Yes. Okay. I had mentioned that there's just differences between the two formats, and so you just picked up on the really big one. What that $22 million in the MTW plan is Fund 1 and 2. It's the commitment we made for development, for gap reporting, and for financial reporting. Fund 1 and 2 isn't something you consider. It's reserve money, which is also what we're going to discuss in Chicago.
So we haven't written the checks. Since we haven't written the checks, it's not appearing on the HUD system in this. So it's missing money. It's money we've obligated. We know we're going to write checks in the future, but it's not into HUD's world yet. Okay.
So when we convert to one format or the other, this discrepancy will go away.
Well, if they listen to us, it will go away.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we'll report our obligations, and the whole thing will start making a lot more sense.
So I'm going to go to the next table, which is basically the handout that Eric left for you all. And let me explain real quick. This is the non-MTW side of the house, and there are some really large discrepancies here, which is primarily caused by OPI. When we prepared the budget started around February and March of last year, OPI was still an affiliate. As you know, in June, OPI's board voted themselves out of business, and in July, you became chair and vice chair of OPI.
It became an instrumentality. So it got rolled in. So right. Suddenly their budget got, the expenses got rolled right. into this.
Yeah, so the whole game changed. Yeah. Right, I understand. Yeah.
And that caused a lot of deviations on this.
Right.
Well, so like, for example, the $20 million in rental income is all OP's rental income, which is not in your plan, but it's in the actuals. Okay.
So that over time will correct itself.
Yeah, so I don't know that it really is important to. Yeah, I'm just not sure that it's important for us to understand all of these variances here, since we don't really have apples to apples, and as long as and you know, we can't really draw any conclusions from this, and since this is really, I mean, my real question is, are we doing the right thing here for HUD? And the answer to that sounds like it's yes. So if that is the case, yes.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Way to go.
That's what you're saying, right?
That's right.
I'll second.
All right.
All right. So we have a motion and we have a second. All in favor, please say
yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? All right. Motion carries unanimously. Wonderful job,
Thank
Tony.
You.
We are certainly going to miss you.
Definitely, Tony. Thank you for all
Thank
your work.
Thank you for your work, Tony.
Okay. Modifications to the agenda. Hearing none, we will then move on to new business. Item A.
New business, item A, consideration of a resolution making certain determinations with respect to the financing of Lion Creek Crossing Phase 5 of the Coliseum Gardens Hope 6 development, authorizing application to the California Debt Limit Allocation Committee for an allocation of tax-exempt bond authority, declaring its intent to use bonds and reimburse certain expenditures from the proceeds of the bonds and related actions. That's an enormously long title, clearly written by attorneys. this is issuing bonds for 128 units of senior housing that we're putting up. Before I call Phil Neville, Deputy Executive Director of Real Estate Development, up to give a brief report, I just want to say when we issue the bonds on behalf of these folks, we do not have the obligation for the repayment of these bonds. We're the issuing entity that allows them to get the bonds. Doing this now will allow them by the end of October to submit a request to the California Debt Allocation Committee to get authority to issue the bonds. And I will turn it over to Mr. Neville.
Thank you. I'm Phil Neville, Deputy Executive Director for Real Estate Development. Happy to be here tonight. And I know there probably will be a few questions about this amorphous language, but let me make a few other points after Eric's introduction. For one thing, we would be an applicant along with the partnership that's being formed for this new senior housing development. And we would apply to CIDLAC as early as October 12th of this year, and maybe later for certain technical reasons. But the amount that we'd be asking for is $18.5 million to be allocated to our project from the state's bond ceiling. And this is the last round of this year. So at this point, we're unsure whether we apply in this round to get an allocation later this year, or we may be advised to hold off on the application and get the allocation next year. We are, as Eric told you, we're not obliged to pay these bonds, but we are obliged to pass a resolution of intent, often in the past referred to as an inducement resolution, and that is the resolution that's necessary for us to use these powers that are granted us under the State Health and Safety Code as an agency to issue bonds. I would also add that we're limited in those powers to issuing bonds for housing-related reasons, as described in the resolution itself. Acquisition, construction, rehabilitation, and et cetera. And so I think one of you had a question about whether we could use it for, I don't know, to fund social services. Probably not. Not unless it was part of the program, social service space, in a housing facility. So let me make a few more points about this. You know, we've already built 439 units on the Lion Creek Crossing site within phases 1 through 4. We have 157 public housing units there. Because of our one-for-one replacement strategy, we replaced all the public housing units from the old Coliseum Gardens project, 157 on this site, and then another 21 that are over by Eastmont Mall at Foothill. There's a huge budget in here I don't plan to go through, but if you ever are trying to track the expenses of this team related, Abald C. and Steve Hoppe, who is behind me here. Is Enter here today? I haven't seen him. Enter Chu said he might be able to get by from Abald C. But it's a large project, probably the largest affordable housing development in Oakland since the days of Peralta. Is it Villa or Village?
It's Village to HUD and Villa okay. to some of...
And in Lockwood. Lockwood and Peralta were very large developments back in their day. But they didn't have a city park and some of the other things that we were able to do with this. So if the bonds are allocated by the state, we then become eligible for the 4% tax credits. And using these in combination, we would issue the bonds, privately place them to a bank rather than sell them through stockbrokers, bond brokers. We would place them with a bank that would serve as the lender to the project. They are tax-exempt bonds, so the rates are below market for it's a below market interest rate for housing. If you're a private developer and go out and borrow money from a bank for market rate housing, you would pay a higher rate than this. On the other hand, these rates are higher now than, say, what you would pay on a single family dwelling if you bought one, because the rates are historically pretty low right now. So if this happened, it would happen as early as late March and probably no later than July of next year is the range of start dates. We expect that the construction loan interest rate might be somewhere under 3%, and that would be a short-term loan, and then there would be a permanent loan of maybe 30-year fully amortized loan rate would probably be under 5%. The market does change a little bit from day to day and season to season. So I think those are most of the things that I wanted to say. By passing this resolution, you name Ballard Spahr, our bond counsel, who some of you have seen in meetings in this room or you've had to sign documents for them. Greg, you may be new to this, but at this closing, you as chairman would have to sign documents related to the bonds. Normally, executive director handles most of the loan document signatures, but you're going to be needed for this closing. I'll tell you right now. I think those are the main points. Eric, did I miss anything we should highlight?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Nimmo.
Okay.
So I don't necessarily have any questions on it, but a comment, Phil. I think I had a hard time with the memo understanding it. And when you said the $18.5 million, that kind of made it click to me that in the memo, it never actually states the amount of money that we're requesting anywhere. It does very clearly in the resolution when I went over that, so I'm glad to see it there. But it would have been easier for me to understand the memo and what we were asking for, I think, if it contained
I agree
that
with you.
Figure. So just
Commissioner Pitts, I noticed the same thing on my final read of this.
Okay.
Getting ready for this meeting, I thought we didn't put the number in the memo. We just put it in the reso.
Right.
Glad you found it, though.
Yeah, well, for me, it was kind of like, what are they really asking for? I don't understand because I couldn't find that
right.
number there. So thank you.
Okay.
And please, in the future.
Next time.
Thank
we'll
you,
have
Phil.
It in. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So bring me, I think I understand that we're going to buy something and then lend it out at some point, and then how does it come back to us if it does at some point?
Well, we're going to issue bond,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be sold to a bank.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know which bank yet. We do a competitive selection to see who we get the best terms from. It'll be privately placed, they call that one. You just sell it to one entity rather than offer it on the market, so each of us could go down and buy a bond. And then that money is used by the bank to loan to the developer, which is this partnership that's been formed that has the long name. Let's see if I can get that name pulled out of here. Senior, Steve, help me with this. What's the name of this partnership?
Lion Creek Senior Housing
yeah.
Partners.
Thank you. So a new entity has been created. And that's the developer that would be paying the general contractor for all the work on the project. And so the obligation, again, is not for ours to pay this money back, even though we issued the bonds. The legal documents are structured so that the partnership pays the money back. And the main way they do that is that after the project's built, the bonds are put out gradually over a period of time, usually called drawdown bonds. They're not put out until they're needed to keep interest rate low. And then at the end of about a 16-month construction period, we would move the families in, certify costs, get IRS approval for the tax credits that were put in, and SIDLAC, the state agency that we get approval for to issue the bonds, would make sure the audits all look good. And then the permanent sources would come in and pay off the construction sources. And the permanent...
Which the bonds would be.
Right. And the permanent source usually includes a lot of money from your tax credit investor. They're the private entity that has most of the money. But there are a number of different sources, including your MTW funds that are in this deal.
And just to quote my chair, is there any risk to the agency? Because he always says that.
Am I getting a reputation?
There is always some risk involved with the development of this scale. The Housing Authority, for example, number one, it's our land. And we're responsible for things like if there's undiscovered toxics in the land or things like that. Number two, we're putting in gap financing, which you approved back in April. Number three, things can go wrong during the construction period, but our documents are crafted very carefully, our loan documents, for the gap financing that we do by Michelle's partners over at Goldfarb and Lippman to make sure that our risks are minimal. The actual bond issue is only a limited obligation of the authority, and we're specifically not responsible to pay those back. So that piece of it can't come back on us. But there are little risks that we take.
The risks that Phil just mentioned are all related to development risks, not the issuance of the bond. The bond has minimal risks for OHA.
Right.
Thank you. Ready to move on.
All
right.
Commissioner Montgomery.
I was reading that state and federal tax regulations require certain actions by the authority as the issuer. So, and it says that, which one is the intent resolution? Is that this?
Yeah, there's a memorandum up front, which is 1, 2, 3 pages long, and then it's followed by a 3-page resolution.
Okay.
And that's called a resolution of intent, and sometimes we've referred to it as an inducement resolution.
And, Commissioner, what you will see when we actually issue bonds, this is just telling our intent to issue to go to the state to get approval to issue, because we have to go to the state and say, yes, you can issue this on behalf of this project mm-hmm. to this amount. And they'll say, okay, this meets the thresholds, therefore you can get the bond issuance. When we actually issue them, it's a different process. We have a big binder in the back of the room, which is the bond issuance, which we have to have here publicly available. That's a different process. This is only showing our intent so we can go to the state to get approval to issue that amount of money in bonds. Okay?
I'll move the item.
We have a motion.
Second.
A second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, Commissioners.
And so we're now moving on to item B, the consent agenda.
I will move the consent agenda.
I'll second the consent agenda.
Item has been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Hearing none, motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Okay, so we now move on to people wishing to address the commission. And we'll start with our first speaker, Robin Johnson. Hello,
hi,
Robin.
Commission. How are you? Tonight I got home, and this evening I had a letter from OHA. And it was somehow my recertification came up. And I looked at the calculations, and I see they goofed again on doing my calculations. I'd say for the past 4 or 5 years, there's been a problem with my calculations. Recently, I was in here last discussing it, It was supposed to be resolved with Mr. Johnson and his staff, which it didn't come to a positive resolution. Nonetheless, I get this new recertification, and again, I'm having the same problems. In addition, at the end of this week, I'm coming up for a reinspection. Now, forgive me. I put on my speaker card that I believe there's fraud and waste going on in the agency, because the fraud is now my unit. When it passed last year, I wasn't there at the time it passed, but it passed with the unit smelled of mildew. It had things hanging off of it. I didn't feel it was ready to be passed, but they went ahead and passed it. They came back out this year and they failed it. And I get the threatening letters when they fail these things, telling me I'm in jeopardy of losing my Section 8. And there's where the waste is because if they had paid attention to the issues when I moved in, then I probably wouldn't have spent the past year getting the landlord to make repairs that he still hasn't finished making. And by the looks of things, he's still not going to finish making, but he'll be doing just enough to meet the minimal requirements that the agency has set up. And that's a problem for me. I'm one of 15,000 people in this agency, Section 8 tenants preferably, who I don't think we're getting the best. I don't think we're getting the best out of the program if the conditions I had to live through this year or anything like anybody else did. And that's why I'm bringing it to the board, is I want something done about it for myself. And unless you deal with my issues, I don't feel that I'm seeing anything happening with other issues. Earlier this year on the RAB board, let's go with the RAB board. Yeah, the RAB board, we've been cut down to meeting twice every other month now. And I found, even sitting on the board, my issues such as these, it's not a place where these issues can be addressed, because we deal with positive things that move forward. So there's not really a voice for tenants to get out there and say what they have to say. And I don't know how many other people from Section 8 have showed up in here to talk about it. But yeah, what I've seen through my paperwork, it's distressful. In the past, I like to just straight and call HUD. I've stopped myself this month from doing so.
Speaker's time is up.
Okay,
well, thank you, Ms. Johnson. As a commission, we are not able to take direct action on this, but what I can do is refer you over to Mr. Johnson and his staff so that he will put you in contact with someone who can help you resolve your problem.
That's a start. That's why I come. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next speaker, Caroline Barnett.
Would you like to combine your time? Yes. Zola Rogers, is she present in the auditorium? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, you can combine
that
your
time. That is fine, yes.
Good evening to the Board of Commissioners, and thank you to all of the attendees. My name is Zola Rogers, and I report to Tony Ma, and I'm here with a lot of his staff, from clerk to accounting officer. And while time won't allow us to delineate all of the accomplishments of the Finance Department under the direction of Tony, we just hope that our presence here will speak to the board volumes of the leadership that we have had under Tony Ma. So one of the things that the finance department has been built under Tony Ma is that integrity, and that is doing what is right, not only for the agency, but doing what is right from a compliance and a regulatory standpoint, and then also loyalty We understand that sometimes decisions will be made that will not necessarily impact us in the most positive way as staff persons, but we understand that Tony always takes into consideration that impact when he's making a decision. And so we, as a finance department under Tony and also under Janet and Eric, we say thank you to Tony, and we want to present him with this basket, and it's filled with coffee and lots of other treats. And I did ask Tony if he was going to leave me the coffee maker, so I'm a little bitter that he said I'm on my own. But nevertheless, we are going to present him with this coffee. And again, thank you to the board. Thank you to Eric, and thank you to Janet.
And thank you.
Come on, Tony.
Come on up.
Don't cry.
Wow. Thank you. Let me put this down.
Also a succulent plant, because we know it might not get the attention that, in terms of water.
Yeah. So I just want to spend a couple of minutes and just say thank you very much to everyone, and thank you to my staff. It's been a real big surprise, and I guess I better be nice to them for the next couple of weeks, huh? But thank you very much. It's a very big surprise. Thank you.
We'd like to thank you. We'd like to thank you as well, Tony, because I was here before you arrived, so I have been able to see firsthand the results that Tony has brought to this organization. I mean, to say that they're impressive is an understatement. I mean, this is really, really a wonderful job that you have done. I mean, you have turned the finance department here into a shining light. And I thank the entire staff, because they all supported you. It wasn't just you. You all had to work together to do this. And I mean, I just personally think it's a tremendous performance. And finance is my background. So for whatever that's worth. but thank you.
And I just want to say, as you start with, by hiring really great staff. So all the credit goes right here.
We have one. Caroline also has a presentation.
Okay. Good evening, commissioners. Thank you so much. My name is Caroline Barnett. I'm the senior budget analyst reporting to Tony Ma. This evening, we'd like to thank, we definitely like to thank Tony, but before we do that, we must thank the Board of Commissioners for the opportunity, our Executive Director, Eric Johnson, and also our Deputy Executive Director, Janet Rice. Commissioners, this evening, on behalf of the finance team, we would like to sincerely thank Janet Rice for tremendous support, just guidance. She's there for us. Okay, and Tony has a great team. It's all because of Janet, and of course, with the leadership of our Executive Director, Eric Johnson. And from our hearts and from the finance team, we would like to present to you, Janet, our sincere gratitude with this. Yes. So, thank you so much for everything. Okay. We really appreciate you. Thank you.
Okay, so now I have to say a couple of words.
Good evening, commissioners. Janet Rice, Deputy Executive Director. I, too, want to publicly just thank Tony for all of his efforts since I came here. It's almost 3 years. Time passes really quickly. And we have accomplished so very, very much together, and I'm going to miss him tremendously. The staff, absolutely, they're awesome. They have stepped up and risen to the occasion on multiple different fronts. And I know that going forward, we talked about the legacy that we want to make Tony proud of.
so that when he looks back at this agency and what he's accomplished, he will know that this team, along with myself, we are going to take this agency to the next level. And I am so looking forward to our award in excellence in financial reporting. Yes. I keep telling my team, we're on a mission. And so I'm so glad that I have such a strong team and a committed team to this agency and to the authority's goals. And we want to make sure that we're stronger and that our organization is sustainable and can accomplish all of the goals that have been set by the board and by our executive director. So thank you so much, team, and thank you, Tony.
There you go. Okay, so Tony, thank you again for your efforts in making finance a pleasure to deal with. And so now we're going to move on to written communications.
Written communications, the packet includes your usual monthly reports. At the beginning of the written communication, you have some pictures from some of the activities we did at the back-to-school events and the backpack giveaways that we've hosted and joint hosted and helped out with. It was really an active summer. I think when we got to the final backpack giveaway, I've never seen so many tired police officers and staff in my life. I think they were grateful that school was starting on Monday. In terms of, there are a couple other things that we got some press on from Nancy O'Malley and Tony Smith mentioning us in different articles about the work that we're doing together. There's also the calendar. So a reminder, October 22nd is a regular meeting, and then we are rescheduling November's meeting to December 3rd, and those will be the last two meetings of the year. And there's one remaining conference left, October 28th and through 30th, but it actually is longer if you're on subcommittees. So at the Sonaro National, which is in Nashville, that will be where we're getting the Award of Excellence for Palo Vista. And so hopefully we can have some presence there. I think some staff are planning to attend to pick that up, and I'm really pleased about that because it's a terrific thing that we've gotten the award. Greer has prepared some pictures and photos that are going there, and I think we'll get some more publicity on it after it gets the award as well. A couple things I wanted to mention just in the interim briefly is our cadets this past weekend, and because at least one's in the house, our cadets participated in a competition that they have, and they're going back for their next one, and they did extraordinarily well. It was their first one, and we've already been called out, and they're just learning the ropes on it. There's a wonderful report that I'm probably going to include just on it for next month, but I didn't get a chance to get into the packet because I only got it on Sunday night. But I was so proud of them, and I just want them. And if you can share that with the other cadets when you go back, I would be very happy. They're a terrific group, and they're in it to win it, and I guess you're going back in 6 months, and I can't wait to hear how they do now that they know the competition. And I'll give you more information on it. They have women-only events that are really terrific, and just it's a great competition, and we're very proud of you all, and particularly Officer Ida Dupree, who goes with them and makes it all happen. We did open our wait list at midnight last night, actually at 12:01. As of 4:30, we have 4,744 applicants, and we're tracking in real time the different breakdowns that we've had. We had a lot of press today. We had an extremely good piece on Channel 2 that I'm hoping they put on the web. I just saw it at the 5 o'clock news, and it mentions not only the wait list but also Palo Vista, the work that we did out there and putting people to work in the force account agreement, and I was just really pleased that they took the time to do that because it's so hard to get any attention, and that they did just a terrific piece. I also interviewed three prints and four radios, and then tomorrow I think Oakland North, and that's myself and also staff from the library, Carmen. Five, sorry, Greer's correcting me. It gets a little hectic, but it went so well. And I think people really are getting the handle on it, and I really want to thank publicly, even though they're not here, is all of our CBOs in town who know how to do this, are getting the outreach done and going online and getting it done. The difference is between 2009, 2011, and now 2012, the growth, I think, is that people have learned how to do it, that the CBOs are using it as an outreach tool to help access people and get them enrolled, and the fact that we're getting into real time and getting to where you can apply for housing and if you're in the lottery, know that in the next 3 years you're going to be offered called in to see if you're eligible and offered a housing, I think is really a goal that we finally reached. Went really smoothly. I was at the main library. There was maybe, at the height when I was there in the morning, and I wasn't there in the afternoon, in the morning there was maybe five people waiting for a computer. Now, when we opened originally in 2009, there was a line around the block, you know, just waiting to get in and use a computer because everyone kind of wanted the help, but they've done it now a couple of times, so I think that people are learning. And I really want to thank Greer for her outreach efforts on this story and getting the word out to everybody, and to Janet Rice and Michelle Hassan, who really, and Letitia and Lenita. Lenita's doing our eligibility for this progress. It's been really the one opening the wait list, and it takes so much work to open a wait list. It sounds like an easy thing. It just isn't. It takes months of planning. And it's handled through a vendor, and the vendor's doing, I think, a pretty good job on our first day, and we're pleased with it. If you get any questions about the wait list, please have them call. You can call executive office. They'll get them in touch with the right person, depending on what the issue is. And a reminder, you can go by the libraries, and we have staff there this week, or East District and West District office. Yeah. And we will see what the number comes out to at the end of the week. I'll get your report next month. And that concludes my report.
Okay, do we have any reports from commission? Oh, go ahead, question. Yes, Ms.
I wanted to really praise Michelle Hassan or her team who sent out that final email to the CBOs, and I'm one of the CBOs. Mm-hmm. And it had the application, it had the addresses of the libraries. It was really simple and easy to read, and I was able to just funnel that out to my case managers and my supervisors. And so I really appreciate that. Tomorrow I'll be teaching my housing class, and we're just going to go to the computers and just register our people. So that's going to be really fun. I'm sure they're doing it now.
Thank you. Okay, so do we have any reports from commission committees? I don't think we had any meetings this past month, did we? Yeah, we didn't make any decisions, right. Okay, announcements by commissioners. Okay, we have one.
This is some really good news. So you guys know I work for East Bay Community Law Center. No, I don't. Scratch that off the record, please. No. I work for Alameda County Computer Resource Center, which is a small nonprofit that gives computers away. And we gave 15 computers to Prescott Place, and I was thinking, is OHA there? Because, you know, Robert Litt is one of the teachers that works with a platform that is different, which is the Linux Ubuntu platform, which is open source, free to everyone. Programs are free to everyone. And so we're able to donate our computers with this really sophisticated operating system. And he is one of the teachers in the Oakland Unified School District who will turn an entire school into this platform and really make it hum. And so we really work in partnership. And so the first of many 15 computers went to Prescott Place, and I was going to ask our education initiative folks whether that's one of our schools. Okay, so that's good, and so I could do more for the families there with this particular connection that we have now. So I just wanted to bring that up. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. Okay, so do we have a motion now to adjourn to closed session?
So moved.
So moved and so done.
Seconded.
We don't need to vote on it.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you. Thank everyone.